You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the late night Lakers on cruise and in control. After a game one wake up, are they now clearly the team to beat in the bubble? Meanwhile, everyone looking ahead to the end of his era in Green Bay. But you will hear Aaron Rodgers tell you why he's looking back 10 years and what it means for the Packers right now. Plus, one of our crew has something to say about Tampa Tom that I haven't heard anywhere. The big question is she right? We'll answer that question and many more as we get up with you, starting right now on a Tuesday in Bristol. I'm Mike Greenberg. Thank you for getting up with us with you for the next 2 hours. And a lot to get to, and it begins with this. In the bubble last night, as they paid tribute to one of their all-time greats, did the Lakers establish themselves as the team to beat? It was a night when they were honoring Kobe Bryant, the day after his 42nd birthday on 8/24, August 24th. The Lakers in honoring him in so many different ways, among them by just flat playing great right from the opening tip-off. This one essentially over before it began. LeBron James and company locked in. And early on, it's a 7-0 lead, and LeBron says, oh, I'm going to add to that, 10-0 in the first 3 minutes in favor of the Lakers, and they were just getting started. It's an 11-point game. It's Anthony Davis. The turnaround plus the free throw. He had 18 points in just 17 minutes. Had to leave with back spasms. That's worth watching. But then the Lakers with the ball movement. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Lakers shot 56% for the night, and in that moment, it was 24-8. A poetic moment on a night with so many tributes to Kobe Bryant. To the third quarter we go, and the Lakers are just pouring it on. LeBron James from the logo. 36 feet for LeBron. He was 4 of 5 from three-point range, showing no conscience whatsoever. 30 points, 10 assists on the night for LeBron. Their lead was 38, middle of the third. Damian Lillard has been so good since the restart, but it appears it's about to end here, and it may have ended last night as he lands awkwardly, clearly pain in the knee. He would leave and not return. He had 11. Lakers, meanwhile, didn't need any help. 18 off the bench for Kyle Kuzma. Lakers showing out on Kobe Day, but after it was over, LeBron's mind was in a lot of other places.
Quite frankly, it's just f***ed up in our community. And us, I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as black people in America. Black men, black women, black kids, we are terrified. Because you don't know. You have no idea.
So LeBron James, certainly not the only one in the sports world and well beyond, whose mind was on the shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And we will have a full discussion on that later this morning on Get Up. But I will begin here with the basketball piece of the conversation. And Kendrick Perkins and Tim Legler getting up with us early this morning. And Legs, I will start with you. After what was sort of a wake-up call, perhaps, in game one, in your mind, have the Lakers now, as we look at how everybody is playing, clearly established themselves to you as the team to beat for the championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's logical to put them as the favorite right now. I thought last night might have been the best overall performance I've seen from any team since the restart, because they had power, they had skill, they shot it well, which is not something they normally do every night. Their defense was suffocating. They just played with an energy and a quickness and an athleticism last night that just made them look so dominant. Look, I personally think that there's still roadblocks in their way, but I think it's logical to say that they probably now have moved to the head of the class with the way that they've played. I think what happened to the Lakers was they just didn't have anything meaningful to play for in those 8 games, and they were using it as preseason. And then the first game, they ran into a red-hot team that had just come off of basically playing 8 playoff games. So they got caught, and now they're starting to now match their intensity with their play. And the biggest thing was, if they're going to make 16 threes, you have a real problem with the Lakers, because that's the one thing that you're counting on if you defend against them that they're going to be inconsistent with.
Yeah, actually 17 last night, 17 of 39 from three-point range for the Lakers. That's over 43%. Big Perk, same question to you. The Clippers are struggling like crazy with Dallas. Milwaukee has been a tad uneven, though they won big yesterday. Do the Lakers look like the best team in the bubble to you right now?
Absolutely, Greeny. They had to give us a friendly reminder that they are.
And this is when the championship experience kick in. The Lakers have the most championship experience more than any other team in the NBA. And when you watch guys like Danny Green, who had 14 points, who was playing terrific on the defensive end, getting tip offensive rebounds, a guy like JaVale McGee, who finished with 8-8 and was protecting the rim. The guy was jumping off a pogo stick. And then we had to get another reminder that LeBron James and Anthony Davis are the most dominant duo in the NBA. Anthony Davis had a plus 37 in 17 minutes. He dominated in 17 minutes, a plus 37. That's unheard of. And then you know what happened with LeBron? He got tired of hearing about Luka. He got jealous. That's what happened. And he came out like a freight train. We seen the 4-4 speed last night, Greeny. We seen him take it to another level. Him making a statement, pulling up from the logo. I mean, look, when you see this Lakers team, people were concerned. I wasn't, because they know it's a marathon and not a sprint.
Timmy, let me ask you, going back to the shooting, because that obviously is an important part. The Lakers shot 56% from the floor last night. Some nights you're just going to have it, and some nights you're not, I suppose. But have you seen an adjustment they have made? That first game, they couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, and we talked about it, you and I, that morning following. Have you seen some sort of adjustment they've made as far as why it is that all of a sudden they're getting such good looks and knocking them down?
Well, if you went back and compared last night to the first three games in the series, there's no question they had better looks. LeBron James was in large part responsible for that, because he just completely dominated them in the paint the previous game. So they were trying to do the best they can to build a little bit more of a wall. And as a result, it's going to be harder to close out to those shooters. But if you look at the way he was getting the ball to shooters last night with that kind of velocity, with that kind of accuracy, you know, you make guys like Caruso and Kuzma and KCP and all of those supporting players better three-point shooters if they have an extra count when they catch the ball. So I just thought their looks were so clean last night. Danny Green also, I don't want to omit him. So for me, it was just the quality of the shots that they were getting. And that's the problem when you play this team. If you don't, if you stay close to shooters, you now have a problem protecting the paint against LeBron and AD. That's the dilemma with this team.
And what is the value at this point, Perk? Again, Anthony Davis leaving the game with the back spasms. We don't know exactly what that'll be. LeBron at 35. What is the value of putting away a series quickly inside the bubble? It's such a different environment than we're accustomed to. But you're seeing some of these teams getting stretched out. Houston getting pushed by Oklahoma City. The Clippers getting a significant push from Dallas. How important is it in your mind, Big Perk, that they put this thing away in five and get some rest?
Oh, it's very important, Greeny. They have to come out with that same mindset that they've been having and jump on them like a pack of hyenas. One thing about the Lakers since game one, their defense have been on point. They have really shut Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum and the Portland Trailblazers down since game one, game two, and game three. And they got to have that mindset going into game five and close this series out. Period, point blank.
Yeah, it's a good point. 8 of 22 combined for Lillard and McCollum last night. Yeah, the Trailblazers had a terrific run in this bubble. It appears it's going to come to an end here. Guys, stay close. Much more basketball as we go. But to my top football story of the morning, and it involves Aaron Rodgers. Coming off back-to-back 4,000-yard seasons, he's looked very good in practice the last few days. And he says part of it is because he recently watched practice tape of himself from 2010 and has made some tweaks. Here's Rodgers on watching 10-year-old film of himself.
I just noticed something from like a clip from 2010, actually, and it kind of hit me, and I know it was 10 years ago, but the next day I went out to practice and started working on what I saw in the film. I think it's just a good reminder for all of us. A tape of yourself can often be the most important to watch, because you can always pick things up. I won't get into exactly what I saw, but it definitely has helped me the last couple of days.
Well, isn't that fascinating? And so my football crew is ready this morning. Diana Russini, Greg McElroy, and Booger McFarland are with me here. And Greg, we'll start with you. We gave you a little homework assignment after we heard that from Rodgers. We said we want you to look at 10-year-old tape, and you tell us what you think it is he's seeing. What did you find?
Well, I was a whippersnapper in 2010, but I tell you what, it was pretty obvious when you look at him during that playoff run, that Super Bowl run in 10, how different he approached the top of his drop. Let's watch it here. Here he is, dropping back in the Super Bowl and stepping up with conviction, with authority. And by the way, let's pour one out for Ryan Clark right here, because he's able to squeeze it. Aaron Rodgers staring it down. telling the safety exactly where he's going to go with it. RC is just a touch late. But look at the velocity. It's ridiculous. It's all because of that step up in the pocket, moving towards the pocket. Here he is last year. Gets to the top, kind of stands around, actually drifts back, retreats in the pocket before stepping up. And you saw this time and time again throughout the 2019 season. He didn't step up with the same level of authority. You saw him buy time by retreating. And what that does, that puts an awful lot of pressure on your arm. He threw a bunch of balls off his back foot, which means it didn't have the same level of velocity that we saw earlier in his career. So if he kind of can fix that and start to step back up, he'll return to being one of the all-time greats, and I fully anticipate us seeing that version of Aaron Rodgers in 2020.
So, Greg, to what do you attribute that? Would that be a function, as one who played the position, would that be a function of not being as certain in the offense? Last year they were in a new offense, so maybe he wasn't quite as convicted about what he wanted to do with the football. Was that a function of just feeling the rush differently? How would you explain why he wasn't stepping up with conviction last year?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I think it has a bunch of different reasons. I think it's probably comfort level within the offense to a certain extent. I think it's comfort level with his wide receivers. And obviously one of his wide receivers missed a decent amount of time last year after the toe injury. So I think that coupled with the fact that his protection was not always sound. There were a lot of hits that he took throughout the course of last season. And when you're drifting and trying to buy time, it just shows me uncertainty. So hopefully if he can step up, and that really that all it is, Greeny, and Boog can attest to this, and Diana can too. When you're stepping up with that level of confidence and you're throwing the ball with that type of authority, it tells you you really believe in what you're doing and you're really, really convinced that that's where the ball needs to go, even though the defense might not necessarily dictate that direction. So I expect to see a different player this year, another year in the offense, another year in the system, another year getting comfortable with his weapons, and I think we're going to see the best of Aaron Rodgers this year, knowing something's been lit underneath him with the drafting of Jordan Love.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Diana, I know you've been hearing really positive things coming out of there. What are the people in the Packers telling you?
Yeah, I don't think there's any secret, and we've discussed it, you know, many times here on this show about the attitude that Aaron Rodgers has had, and we know he's plainly pissed off about the Green Bay Packers going the direction of putting all their confidence behind what Matt LaFleur can do and buying into the run game that they want to create there in Green Bay. So Aaron Rodgers sort of has a choice here in how he wants to do this, and he's in a tough spot here. It's go out there and be successful. And what I'm hearing from talking to players on the team who are out on the field with him is that he's happy. Okay, so when you hear about a player being happy, it sounds so simple, Greeny. But there's more to it. Because we knew that he's so motivated and he's got that fire lit under him, as Greg just pointed to, the fact that he's enjoying this game, that he loves football, he loves this offense that he's in now. Yes, he is motivated, but this is why we are seeing the Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in years past at camp. Camp is weird right now. There's no fans out there. Things have changed. But the Aaron Rodgers of old is the Aaron Rodgers that we are seeing out there, especially during those 11-11 drills.
I see the big smile on the face of Booger McFarlane. What are you hearing here, big fella?
You know, Green, I'm just amazed that there was a certain period of time where it almost felt like we were putting Aaron Rodgers out to pasture, or he's not the same quarterback anymore. They drafted Jordan Love. If you go back and you look at last year's stats, I mean, he's 26 touchdowns, 4 picks, over 4,000 yards, and he really didn't have a lot of weapons outside of Devontae Adams. I just laugh at the fact that we are ready to throw this guy away, but down here in Tampa, Tom Brady's almost 50 years old, and we're like, the Bucs are going to have the best offense ever. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still, as Stephen A. says, a bad man. And we all need to sit back and relax and understand that you're going to go through ups and downs in your career. And the fact that Greg pointed out, Greeny, it's fundamentals. It's technique and fundamentals. Every job has those. And Aaron Rodgers went back and looked at his technique and fundamentals at the top of his drop. It's no different. If I step into my throws, I'll be more accurate. I have more velocity. So he has to go back and kind of go back to the basics. But make no doubt about it, man. This dude is going to have a great year. Let's stop throwing an all-time great out to pasture at, what, 34, 35 years old? Come on, man.
All right, I like it. I like that's the place to begin this morning. We have a lot more to come as we get rolling this morning on Get Up, including that other quarterback we're talking about. Expectations are sky high in Tampa. So why is one of our crew about to bring those crashing down to earth? You'll hear it coming up in just a few moments. And then Ben Roethlisberger, 38, coming off a year lost to an elbow injury. Why one of our experts would trust him implicitly in the most important situation. We'll do all of that, and I will ask you this question. On Twitter, if you were starting an NBA team right now, which of these stars would you build it around? Luka, Giannis. Vote on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. Back in a flag. Get up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Starburst, unexplainably juicy. All right, let's get up and go. Take you around the news from the world of sports yesterday, and this is bad from Cleveland camp. Browns fear that second-round pick Grant Delpit tore his Achilles yesterday, according to our Adam Schefter. He suffered the non-contact injury during warm-ups. He had been competing to start at free safety. Elsewhere, Novak Djokovic won his first match since the coronavirus pandemic began at the Western and Southern Open, improved to 19-0 this year with a straight set win over Ricardo Sparrankis. And then during the NFL's most recent testing period, there were no confirmed positive tests among players. That's out of nearly 60,000 tests on about 8,500 players, coaches, and staff. There were 6 conserved positives among staff members, so the news regarding players is extraordinarily good. Meanwhile, training camp for Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers and Tampa Tom, it continues, less than 3 weeks away from their opener. Wide receiver Mike Evans was recently bullish on their offense. Now his fellow receiver, Chris Godwin, was asked if they could be unstoppable. Listen to his response.
I don't know if we're quite there yet, but what I will say is that, you know, if we're able to significantly reduce not only the turnovers, but the mental errors on, you know, on everybody's part. If we're able to keep, you know, pulling a rope in the same direction, I think it's pretty scary, you know, what our offense can be. And, you know, I'm not really sure if there's a limit on that. You know, we still got a long ways to go. We've done some really good things so far in camp, but by no means are we, you know, are we where we need to be.
Okay, so it's enthusiastic if tempered. And so, again, Diana, McElroy, and Booger with me here this morning. And there is so much excitement down in Booger's adopted hometown of Tampa Bay that one wonders if the sky is the limit. Diana Russini, however, has a bold prediction that might just surprise you. Diana, what are your expectations?
I love that you guys did this to me. I said this like a month ago. I said the Tampa Bay Bucks, everyone is predicting that they're going to the Super Bowl, and I don't think they're even going to make the playoffs. And you know what? At the end of August, I'm going to stick with that, despite the fact that this offense is raving about Tom Brady's work ethic, his intelligence, because here's what we know about Brady, Greeny. He likes routine. He likes to be comfortable, and he likes to be coached hard. This has been a very strange offseason. We talk about it all the time on this show. He's working out on high school fields before he got to training camp. All of this is different. He's in a new system. He also led the league last year in throwaways, right? He's a little skittish. He doesn't like to get hit. But in a Bruce Arians offense, if you take a look at the numbers over the last few seasons when Bruce was with, obviously with the Bucs and when he was with the Cardinals, his quarterbacks were getting hit tons and they were getting blitzed even more. So this is going to be a big change for Tom Brady. So I expect them to come out sort of flat and never really peak. Although next season, I think, will be the year where Tom Brady and Bruce Arians will be stars together.
Okay. I love the conviction, and I love going against the grain, and I also love the look on Booger McFarland's face. Booger, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Green, I really don't even know where to start. I respect Diana's acumen for football, and her reporting is always impeccable. But Diana, I mean, come on, sweetheart. What are we doing here? I mean, think about this. If we were to go to the Mercedes-Benz dealership and get a brand new car, fill it full of gas, and drive out to the street, there's a high probability that when you hit the gas pedal, that car is going to go as fast as you want to drive it. Like, I don't really have to drive it beforehand to know what the car is going to do. I look at this Buccaneer offense in a very similar way. You have a guy who is arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. You are giving him arguably the best weapons he's ever had. Randy Moss, please don't call me. Some of the best weapons that he's ever had. And you're telling me in an NFL that is built around spreading the football out and throwing the football out that Tom Brady and this Mercedes-type offense is not going to be good and make the playoffs? Oh, by the way, we're not even talking about the defense that was a top 10 defense at the end of the season last year. That's kind of the reason I have a hard time, Diana, going with the fact that they won't make the playoffs. I mean, I don't even know what else to say.
Go ahead, Diana.
I'm so glad that you said Mercedes, because when I think Mercedes, I think the Mercedes Superdome where the Saints play, where they have a quarterback, an offensive coordinator, and a head coach who've been together since 2009. Tom Brady also is used to being in a division where he doesn't have any competition. Look what he has to face this year. There are going to be so many challenges for him. Forget the fact that we know he's going to get hit a lot. This new system, he's out of his routine. I just don't think Tom Brady's going to be comfortable. He is the GOAT, but there's still a learning curve that needs to happen, and he's going to need some time here, Booger.
All right, so, Diana, I was going to be on your side until you took a little subtle shot at the Jets there. That was unnecessary. But, okay, Greg McElroy, you got 60 seconds. You break the tie. What's your expectation?
Well, 99 times out of 100, I'd be Team Diana over Team Booger. This is the anomaly. I look at last year, and Jameis Winston, frankly, gift-wrapped games to the opponents. This team wasn't that far off last year. If you take into account 30 interceptions, 7 pick sixes, 7, the Buccaneers' defense faced 199 drives. That was the most in the NFL. And they had 15 drives by the opponents that started inside the red zone nearly, the 30-yard line being the cutoff. This team had their back against the wall time and time again because of Jameis Winston's carelessness. I know Tom's going to throw it away, and you referenced the fact that they might blitz Tom from time to time. Good luck, because Tom's seen it all. You can bring a blitz, you can show pressure, you can disguise, it doesn't matter. He will not be fooled. So he'll have a plan for everything you might throw at him. So yes, even though blitz numbers might go up, the reaction won't be the same that you saw from Jameis Winston. So expect Tom, I think, to have an excellent year given the supporting cast that he has around him. And the fact that it's 10 times better than the supporting cast I feel like he's had the last couple years since Gronk retired.
Okay, and one thing, listen, I don't agree with you either, Diana, but I like you going out on the limb. I like it. Stay out there on the limb. I've been out there many
Green,
times.
That's not a limb. No. Hey, that's not a limb.
It's a twig.
That's like a branch that fell off the tree a long time ago. Damn the limb. The limb is gone.
Okay, I got to go to a break. Hang on, guys. We're coming back with much more
Let's talk
this
in December.
And more football as we go. He's not playing a game this fall. So how do Justin Fields and Ohio State find themselves ranked so high? We'll try and explain the inexplicable as Get Up continues on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and let's run the floor through the rest of the action in the bubble. We open with the Lakers' big win over the Blazers. Elsewhere, the Heat advanced to the next round of the playoffs, beating Indiana 99-87. Bam Adebayo continues to impress. 14 points, 19 boards. Miami's bench outscoring Indiana's bench 38-3. They got 16 from Tyler Hero. The Heat are moving on. The Thunder overcame a 15-point deficit in the third, beat the Rockets 117-114. Chris Paul at 26. Dennis Schroeder 30 off the bench. Series now tied at 2 games apiece. Thunder have 32 clutch time wins this year. That's the most in the NBA. And the Bucks beat the Magic by 15. They take a 3-1 lead in that series. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 31 points, 15 boards. He's the first player in NBA history to start a postseason with 4 straight games of at least 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. In other NBA news yesterday, after being swept by the Celtics in the first round, the Sixers fired Brett Brown after seven seasons in Philadelphia, coached them through losing at least 60 games each of his first 3 years, did make the playoffs each of his final 3 seasons. And here's Adrian Wojnarowski and Woj with us from the bubble. You told us yesterday, Woj, that at this spot yesterday, that this was a very likely scenario and likely to happen quickly. And then, of course, it did. Why did Philly decide this was the right time to make this change?
Greeny, it's going to be the beginning, I think, of more changes in that organization. But typically, when you get swept in a playoff series, it starts with a coach. It did in this scenario. Brett Brown would have loved to have had Ben Simmons in that playoff series with Boston. He had moved him to the power forward in the seeding games and the restart, but they didn't get to see what the team would look like with Ben Simmons off the ball. But for the Sixers, you're going to see more changes. Now, Elton Brand, their general manager, I'm told, is safe, but he's going to have the opportunity with senior leadership to make some more changes in the front office. This is an organization that, beyond head coach, is going to look at how they got to where they are with their roster, with the highest payroll in the league next year, and a group that has, even without Simmons in the playoffs, felt like underachieved.
Yeah. And so where specifically do you think they go from here for coach, though? That's one people will keep a close eye on, and it's so high profile. What direction do you think they will look?
I think this search is going to start with Ty Lue, the assistant with the Clippers, won a championship in Cleveland, went to 3 straight finals there. Ty Lue's reputation, and well-earned, has been an ability to coach star players and to coach them hard, to be a force on the court in the locker room, and tactically a very, very good coach. You know, sometimes when you coach LeBron James and you look through history, you don't get a lot of credit for the success. The credit has gone to him. It's a testament to his talent. But he is well-regarded within the league, and he is a coach that the Sixers are absolutely going to talk to. You know, Jay Wright at Villanova, whether this is the right time or not for a college coach in that situation in Philly, Jay Wright has had a ton of interest from the NBA through the last several years. He has said no to it all. There's no indication that Jay Wright wants to leave Nova. But that's another coach to keep an eye on in this.
Okay, fascinating. Always those high-profile college coaches, and that would be the highest of them all. Woj, outstanding. Thank you. Enjoy down there. We'll see you back shortly.
Thanks,
meanwhile,
Greeny.
So yesterday, when we were talking about Brett Brown getting fired, my buddy Bruce Bowen sent me a text and said, Greeny, I have stuff I want to say about this. And so we are delighted to bring Bruce on to Get Up this morning along with Tim Legler. Go ahead, Bruce. What is your take on how the Sixers handled this?
Well, I feel like the accountability has been lost on the player, Greeny. The fact that, yes, I understand that coaches get fired in this game when they don't achieve certain things. But at what point are we going to start holding players accountable? I know that players are always talking about how they can be traded, they can get waived and things of that nature. But who's going to stand up for the coaches? I'm going to stand up for my guy, Brett Brown, right now. And I feel like if he would have had a vested superstar in Joel Embiid, things wouldn't be this way. Somebody that takes ownership of the fact that you are the go-to guy on that team, that comes into camp in shape, that understands that he has to make others better, that's why he's a max player. I think the accountability is not being placed where it should be, and we need to start holding superstars accountable to being better players on the floor.
Let me come back to you on that, because there's more to being a superstar is what you're saying. And you, of course, played with one of the greatest of them all in Tim Duncan for so many years in San Antonio. There's more to being a superstar than just how you play. It's how you lead. It's the example that you set. All of that. I'd love you to pick up on that thought, because I hadn't thought of it, and it's fascinating.
Greeny, the fact that here it is, when you don't love the game. I know that we have a guy that played at Lower Merion High School there. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. He loved the game. He understood his responsibility as a go-to guy, as a leader, as a guy that is to bring guys together and make others better that don't have quite the talent. We never got that from Joel Embiid. I'm going to give you a quick story, Greeny. As far as I was in San Antonio at the time, and Brett Brown and the 76ers were in town. He asked me to speak to the team. At this time, they had J.J. Redick. I talked about how the Clippers came up short when Redick was there, along with Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. And I said, you guys have to understand that it's so much about the right now. You have to play as if there's no tomorrow, because you're not guaranteed to get anywhere. And so after that conversation, I talked about also stay out of the media, stop tweeting so much. And you know, the one individual who had a problem with the whole meeting, it was Joel Embiid, because he felt like he was being chastised for the things that he had been saying. All I'm saying is this: if you're going to say something for the world to see, don't be surprised when people have ill will or ill thoughts about what you're tweeting. As far as, I guess I'm a five man now, I'm going to shoot threes. Get your butt on the block. Be demonstrative there, just as we saw in the All-Star game, because there is a place for big men. But when you're not bringing the game quite like you should, now you have all these others saying, well, maybe there is no place for the big man. And I know that legs understand that if you have a big man that creates that double team, there's going to be three-point shots available for the wing players.
That's okay. That is not at all where I expected you to go, Bruce, and I'm thrilled. Legs, I thought we were going to be having a conversation more about Brett Brown, but I'm much happier to have this one. What do you think of what Bruce just said about Embiid?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in that, and I love his point about the accountability of the players. I've been talking about that for several years. I probably follow this team more closely than any other. It's right in my backyard. And I'm, you know, constantly I feel like debating the merits of these players. I think for Joel Embiid, the biggest thing is when you have a star player and you run your offense through that player, and he has never really pushed himself from a conditioning standpoint to have the kind of stamina where he can stay on the court for more than 5 or 6 minutes straight without needing a rest. That's very difficult on a head coach. It's also difficult when your other star player, Ben Simmons, who's got a great motor and is an elite defensive player and a great playmaker, is a guy that's obviously limited with his scoring ability. So to try to run an offense that's predicated on getting a guy shots within 6 feet of the rim, that's a very difficult thing to do when he's a perimeter player. So there are limitations that Brett Brown has on these players. I think the reason they made the change was because they feel like Brett Brown hasn't made them accountable enough, hasn't demanded enough. And I'm not saying it's easy, because the player has to want it, but I just think they are looking at this experiment now over a period of time, particularly the last 3 years, and they're saying, okay, maybe it'll never happen, but it's clear that it's not going to happen with Brett Brown getting the most out of those individual players. And then if you can't get it, make the adjustments you have to hide their weaknesses. I think that's where they're at with this team, and that's where the evaluation, you know, fell at his feet. And now they're going to see if a different voice can demand those things from these players. But Bruce is 100% right. They have to want it. There's some immaturity there amongst their best players in terms of leaders. There's no question about it. And that's why Jimmy Butler, I think, wanted to go to Miami, to be honest with you. I think he saw what was next to him and realized that, you know what, you're not going to break through here. I'm going to go to Miami, and with an organization and with guys around me that understand the little things that you have to do and the attention to detail to win.
Yeah. Bruce, final thought.
I made a statement yesterday about how we need more organizations to hold their players accountable. And Legs, you're absolutely right. Miami, they're going to hold guys accountable. It doesn't matter who it is. It's about the accountability. Because when you are accountable, at least you can go to bat and say, well, hey, he did his best. Now Brett Brown needs to go. Again, I understand that it is the business. But when you don't have superstars given 100%, that's blasphemous against the game. This is a game that we supposedly love, and you want to maximize most of your opportunities. He didn't do that, and now people get fired.
Bruce, that also, listen, I'm going to call you right after this. I want to do this on radio again this afternoon and get more deeply into it. Bruce Bowen, awesome. Thank you. Tim Lugler, stay with me here. We're coming back to you as our morning continues on Get Up. Meanwhile, to college, and this is nuts. Clemson is the number one team in the preseason AP poll for the second straight year. Before last year, they'd never been at the top of the preseason rankings. That really wasn't the most important thing that came out of these rankings yesterday. More interesting was that Ohio State is number two. They are ranked in the preseason AP poll for the 32nd straight season. They got 21 first place votes, from what I'm told. They've, of course, announced 2 weeks ago they're not playing this year. Alabama is in the top three in the preseason AP poll for the 11th consecutive season. I can't even read this with a straight face. How can I go on talking about Alabama and all the rest of it when I just said Ohio State is second and they've already announced they're not playing? There are 9 teams who are in these preseason rankings who have already announced they're not playing. 6 in the Big Ten, 3 from the Pac-12. Again, Ohio State got 21 first place votes. They're not playing. I'm at a loss. I tried very hard. Greg McElroy, Booger, McElroy, I'll start with you. I tried very hard on my radio show yesterday to talk about this without laughing, and I can't do it. What are we supposed to say? Greg, if no team goes unbeaten this year, should they put Ohio State in the playoff? I mean, you know, they'll be an unbeaten, and they started the season ranked number two. What do we say about this?
Well, Greeny, we've never seen a team that was undefeated miss the playoffs.
That's
so
it.
You have a bit of an argument. Put Penn State in, too. Why not? In a world in which preseason polls are absolutely meaningless, this takes it to another level. This is the most meaningless poll in the history of college football. The fact that 9 teams in the top 25 will not play this year, and the fact that there's only 39 teams, Greeny, that are going to be playing Power 5 football this fall, those 3 conferences plus Notre Dame. 39. There is a real possibility, Boog, a real possibility that a 2-3 SEC team is number 24 in the polls. That's a real possibility. So it's laughable. It's ludicrous. It makes no sense. And I'm not looking at it again until the College Football Playoff Committee puts out their polls in November.
Go ahead, Booger. Say something funny.
Well, Green, I wish I had something funny to say, but I mean, you know, here's the reality of it. Like, Ohio State wants to play football, and the reason they want to play football is they think they have the best team in the country this year. I agree. This will be their best football team since the Ezekiel Elliott, Cardale Jones team. So that's why there's a big uproar in Columbus about trying to get this team on the field. That's why the parents are storming the Big Ten office, because they realize the type of team they have. They are worthy of the number 2 ranking, maybe even the number 1 ranking with the type of talent that they have. But for this poll to come out and have them number 2 when they've already said that they're not going to play football just kind of shows you where we are in 2020. Like, every time I see more instances in 2020 where you say, man, this is 2020. When you got 2 hurricanes headed up the Gulf toward New Orleans, like, this is 2020. Things are happening this year that we cannot explain. Things are happening that we have no reason whatsoever to say. But you know what? This is an off year in 2020. This is how we're going to chalk it up.
Yeah, look, I've been a professional broadcaster for 29 years. I read what they put in front of me. I couldn't read with a straight face anything after reading a legitimate stat about how Ohio State is ranked number 2. And, oh, by the way, Alabama is number 3. They're not playing. All right, we'll take a break. We're coming back with more of this tonight on ESPN2. Our WNBA coverage continues with Breonna Stewart and the league-leading Storm trying to stop a 2-game losing streak against Kelsey Mitchell and the Fever. That's tonight, 10 Eastern on ESPN2, and it's on the ESPN app. Coming up, he's the only quarterback in the division to win a Super Bowl. So why did one of my friends diss Big Ben among AFC North quarterbacks? You'll hear it and we'll react next. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let me run you around the bases, all the action from major leagues yesterday, and we start with Jose Abreu. Went deep for the White Sox in the top of the second inning right about there, matching a major league record with a home run in 4 consecutive at-bats. His 6 home runs against the Cubs this series tied for the most in a 3-game series in the live ball era. That's 100 years. Elsewhere, the Padres' hot streak continues. Oh, 21-year-old star Fernando Tatis Jr. spectacular at shortstop. Look at the grab. Manny Machado hit a go-ahead 2-run homer in the 8th. Padres beat the Astros 5-3, San Diego's first 7-game win streak in 7 years. The Dodgers launched 7 home runs, dismantled the Rockies 11-3 to complete a 3-game sweep. That's Mookie Betts, big day at the plate, 3-for-5, 2 homers, 3 driven in. Dodgers have won 4 straight. They have the best record in Major League Baseball. And exciting finish to Sunday Night Baseball. Bottom 9, 2 outs. Braves down 5-3, first and second. Freddie Freeman in the gap. That's a double to left center. 1 run scores. Didi Gregorius. The throw. Dansby Swanson is out at the plate. And that's how the game ends. They get the final out of the game at home plate. And the Phils hang on to win 5-4 tonight on ESPN's Monday Night Baseball. More drama. Charlie Blackman continuing his quest to hit 400 this year. Blackman and the Rockies take on the Diamondbacks tonight, 9:30 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Back to the NFL. Tom Brady and the Bucs beginning their second full week of padded practices. You're seeing pictures here of Brady on the practice field this morning as he continues to work with his new teammates in the Central Florida heat and humidity. And that is where we find our very own Bucs reporter, Jenna Lane. Jenna, how has Brady looked in these practices so far?
Greeny, I asked Coach Arians to summarize how his quarterback has looked after a week going against his defense. He told me, fantastic. He knows where he's going with the ball. He's building trust with his receivers. You can see it out on the practice field. He's connected with Mike Evans on a number of deep passes. And I thought yesterday he had his best day with Chris Godwin. In the final play, or I should say the final red zone period, the first play of it, he connected with Godwin on this gorgeous back shoulder catch in the corner of the end zone that ended practice. And then Scotty Miller, a guy that most people outside of the Bucs hadn't heard of, a rookie last year, had just 200 receiving yards. He has made some of the biggest plays here in training camp, and his confidence continues to soar each time he catches a pass from Brady.
All right, so that's a name to remember. Meanwhile, let's talk about the offense, because Bruce Arians famously, he likes to throw it down the field, no risk it, no biscuit. How is this offense adjusting to fit what Brady specifically does well?
Well, on the first couple plays of the first practice, you saw a little bit of an adjustment period going on. Brady gets the ball out of his hands so quickly. You've seen that. And a number of these guys simply weren't ready for it. They weren't getting their heads around quickly enough when the ball arrived. But now that they've had some time together, you're starting to see that chemistry grow more and more. And it's still Bruce Arians' no risk it, no biscuit offense. But the shots downfield, those risks downfield, they feel a lot more selective versus when Jameis Winston was the guy calling the shots. And Arians will tell you, it is up to the quarterback on where he wants to go with the ball. He doesn't have to go deep on every play. He can certainly hit guys underneath.
And then maybe just as important, Jenna, is the impact that he has in the locker room. What are you seeing there as far as how he is able to affect the entire team just by his presence?
Running backs coach Todd McNair told me that it reminds him of when he was a player with the Kansas City Chiefs and Joe Montana arrived. Mm. It changes everything, not just things for the skill players, but everyone has such a greater sense of responsibility. They don't want to let that guy down. They don't want to be the guy that busts protection, that surrenders a sack, or worse. And I love the way he's interacting with his young teammates. So many people wonder, a guy of his age who's practically double some of these guys' ages, They wonder, how can they build chemistry? How can they connect off the field? He's already come up with a number of nicknames for new teammates. My favorite is Scooter. That's what he calls Scotty Miller. After every play he makes, it's way to go, Scooter. And it's funny because he'll give it right back to him. He'll tell you, that guy's as old as my dad, which I checked, and his dad's actually in his 50s, but it's still hilarious.
That's right. Brady will still be playing when he's in his 50s, so it'll work out just fine then. Jenna,
right?
Outstanding. Thank you. Have a great start to the week here. We'll check in with you as we go on. Meanwhile, I want to show everybody a quote from Mike Evans. We talk about, you know, who is Brady going to have the most impact on. Evans, of course, the deep threat, saying, quote, I feel like we can be an all-time great offense this season, and that's our goal. Why not set your expectations high? Let me bring the squad back in here, Tim Hasselbeck and Mike Tannenbaum. Tim, what do you think? All-time great offense. Yeah, you want to roll your eyes, but then you start looking at some of the pieces and you consider who the quarterback is. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, they have the pieces, but Greeny, right before you interviewed Jenna Lane, you said the Bucs about to start their second week of padded practice. They've been in pads for 1 week. And so when you think about all-time great offenses, it's, you know, groups that have had a ton of continuity, obviously between the play caller and the quarterback, because that's what's so critical. And while we all are eager to see Tom Brady, you know, play in this new offense, and many of us think that he'll do well, I think when we're talking about all-time great offenses, that's just a little aggressive for me at this point when they've played nobody. We haven't even seen them in a preseason game. And we're basing a lot of this on, you know, routes versus air stuff that we're allowed to see as a media. So I understand the reason for optimism, but I would probably pump the brakes on all-time great.
Yeah, here's what I can't get one definitive answer on, which is to say, if you ask 10 people, you sort of get 10 different opinions. Mike Tannenbaum, the impact that no preseason games and a completely unusual, unprecedentedly so, preseason and training camp and everything else, off season that we've seen. What impact will that have on Brady and the Bucs' opportunity to be great this season?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, let's put it into context. On opening day, Tom Brady plays Drew Brees. Drew Brees and Sean Payton have been together for 13,000 snaps. Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, zero. It's a work in progress. So I would say over the last 8 games of the season, I agree with what you and Tim have been saying, which is I think they're going to be a top 5 offense from games 9 through 16 and hopefully into the playoffs for Tampa Bay. But it's going to take some time. What is our sport? Our sport is repetition and precision, and practices matter. And unfortunately for guys like our ESPN's Damian Woody, who hated practice, it mattered. So it matters today. It mattered back then. It's going to matter tomorrow. So I love Mike Evans's exuberance, but the reality is they're 13,000 snaps behind the Saints on opening day, and it's going to take some time for this to work out.
Make it clear, and obviously we have the little word up there in the upper right-hand corner of your screen, but these are live pictures. You're watching Tom Brady and his teammates right now at practice live. Tim Hasselbeck, what do you expect? Do you expect it to look like, you hear Jenna saying that they're doing a little bit of what Brady has typically done and a little bit of what Arians has typically done. What do you expect that mix to look like as far as how much of it is, for lack of a better word, dinking and dunking, and how much of it is no risk it, no biscuit?
Yeah, I think it'll look more like an offense that we've seen Tom Brady in the past. And the reason I say that is everyone makes a big deal about this no risk it, no biscuit, and pushing the ball down the field. Oftentimes, plays are called with the intention of pushing the ball down the field. But typically, the way it works in offense, when there's somebody deep, there's somebody short. And that's why when Bruce Arians talks about it's the quarterback's decision about where the ball goes, you can call as many shots as you want as a play caller. But if the quarterback is getting the ball out of his hands quickly to the underneath route, then it really doesn't matter what you called in terms of the deep combination. So I think that we'll see Tom Brady in an offense that looks very similar to what he was doing in New England most recently.
Yeah, there he is. Tom Brady, again, live pictures of him practicing right now in Tampa, less than 3 weeks from his debut as Tampa Tom. Meanwhile, we'll take a break. Coming up, huge hour on the way. Luka Doncic becoming a superstar right before our eyes. Why the Clippers and everybody else need to be very, very worried.